I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the reading. Have you ever thought of yourself as being special? Do you know of anyone who thought you were special? If so, what does it feel like to be special? Now Beth looks at the choir and thinks that her people are special. And rightfully so, those are her people. Then they sing. But, you know, sometimes we get treated differently because we are special to someone. If you have siblings and you're the eldest, you may have noticed that the baby got treated differently. The youngest tends to get treated differently. And if you're at work and your boss likes someone better than you, hard to believe, but it's possible. The boss may treat someone differently and let them get away with things they don't let you get away with because they see that employee as special. It can be very frustrating. And John's talking to a group of people who thought they were special. They did. And you hear this, and these people are, he says, "You brood of vipers," because these people thought, well, we're special. We're the chosen ones. Therefore, we don't have to do whatever God says because we're special. Now, it's nice to be a favorite, I'm sure. In fact, I'm so sure I'm the baby of my family. And so my brother and sister, of course, who are older, resented the fact that I got treated differently, but only by my mother. Because my big brother was my dad's favorite, and my maternal grandparents had my sister, the middle child, as their favorite. And so we all got treated special, but not necessarily by the same people. And I can tell you there was more than a few times my brother and sister would have loved to have put me in a box and shipped me off somewhere. Because it just seemed that sometimes with my mother I was too special. But when you think you're special and then you find out you're not, for example, you go to work and you think, "I'm special. My parents have always told me I'm special and I must be," and you get to work and you try to break the rules because you figure the boss is going to let you because you're special, and then you get fired or reprimanded, you say, "Wait a minute, that's not who I am. I'm special." But the world oftentimes brings rude awakenings. And those who came to John the Baptist were expecting to hear how wonderful they were. And here you are, you're the people of God, and I'm going to tell you how special you are, but John didn't do that. Most of us have seen what happens when we are, or someone we work with, is the boss's favorite. John the Baptist wasn't going to have any of that. So are you aware we have a society today where there are parents who are deemed free-range parents? Have you ever heard that term? Free-range parenting is the new thing, relatively new, and it actually is a good thing if it's done properly. Now, I want you to be thinking about this as I talk about it. Here's what free-range parenting is. Free-range parenting is the concept of raising children in the spirit of encouraging them to function independently. And, key words here, listen carefully, and with limited parental supervision, in accordance of their age of development, and with a reasonable acceptance of realistic personal risk. It's the opposite of helicopter parenting for those of you who know Dr. Benjamin Spock. He talks about hovering. Now, free-range parenting can be a very good thing if you listen to the key words in there. It didn't say that there's no parental supervision. It says limited. It doesn't say that any age. It says according to the age of their development. And it says with acceptable, reasonable, realistic personal risk. You understand the risk and you're able to be there. So when you think about this, I want you to ask yourself what kind of parent God is. Because you see, so many parents who try free-range parenting take it the wrong way, and they think all it means is I don't have to be responsible, and they let the kids go out and do whatever they want. We've seen that. In other words, they spoil their child and they allow them to roam freely, disobey, be out late night without accountability, and even let them talk back. You ever seen that? Child talking back to the parent and the parent just kind of blows it off. And parents do this because they're afraid, oftentimes, that if they try to parent, the child will stop loving them. There's that insecurity. But God is a free-range parent. He really is. He doesn't restrict us. He calls us into covenant. He says, I'm not going to make you do anything, but I will ask you to share what you have with the less fortunate. I'm going to ask. Now, hearken back to what you just heard, read, John the Baptist. I'm going to ask that you're honest in your dealings with one another. Don't use people for your personal gain. God clearly has the concept of raising children in the spirit of encouraging them to function independently and with limited parental supervision. But let us remember the other part of free-range parenting in accordance of their age of development. How old are you? How old are you? Are you old enough to be trusted with what God's giving you every day? Are you old enough to understand that you've got to take responsibility when God says, feed my people, comfort my people? Are we old enough for a free-range parent to trust us to do what Jesus taught us to do and not have to be reminded? Is there anyone here who wants to say, but I don't know what Jesus wants me to do? Can we sum it up with love your neighbor as yourself? You would feed yourself, wouldn't you? You'd clothe yourself, wouldn't you? You see, God expects that we're old enough to take responsibility and to do what we need to do. John says to his fellow Jews in particular, just like a spoiled child who rebels against his parents and or quits loving them because he didn't get his way, we often quit on God. Well, I'm just not going to do it. We throw in the towel because we don't like the difficult circumstances God has allowed to come into our life. Now, hear that again, that God allowed, not that God caused. God didn't do it to us, although many would like to think that's the case. This is what our leaders, the Sanhedrin, has done, John says. And I'm telling you what they're doing is wrong, and if you do it, you're wrong too. The real message that John the Baptist is giving to all of these people is you're not special. Not in the sense that you don't have to follow God and His teachings. Now, as you can clearly see, we can read the New Testament and find that God doesn't, in Jesus' words, zap the people simply because they disobey. I mean, think about it. Jesus had 12 followers. They disobeyed a lot. James and John, the sons of thunder. Peter, who denied Jesus after all the teaching. So it's not like God's going to say, you messed up, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. He understands who we are and what we are. But he does tell us through John and Jesus, no one is so special as to hold it over others. So when John the Baptist speaks and the Pharisees and Sadducees are standing there, he's saying, don't think you're special. You're going through life saying, I'm the chosen one. Well, guess what? God can choose whoever God wants. It's not just them. Now, you may be asking yourselves, then who does God love most? Does God have a favorite? Chosen ones who rate higher than anyone else? Do you hear anything in the teachings of Jesus that say God holds anyone above everyone else? Now, let us note for the record, John the Baptist is talking to everyone, not just Jews. You know how we know that? Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Anyone. He's speaking to the crowd. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, Teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Now, you think of a tax collector, a lot of times you think of someone like Matthew. And you think, well, it's a Jew. No, there were Roman tax collectors as well. It doesn't say just Jewish tax collectors. Let's go further. Soldiers, those would not be Jews. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. Be satisfied with your wages. He's talking to a mixed crowd. He's letting the Jews know, you may think you're chosen, which means you're special, but you're no different than the soldiers, the tax collectors, or anyone else in this crowd as far as God's concerned. We should all live by the Word of God. But now I'm going to contradict myself. Connie likes that. She says, oh, I love it when he contradicts himself. Because God does have favorites. And I think the best way to point out who those favorites are is to read something to you that came from Irma Bombeck. How many people know Irma Bombeck? This came from her, but I want you, every time you hear the word mother, I want you to think of God, okay? Because this is so true. Every mother has a favorite child. She cannot help it. She is only human. I have mine, the child for whom I feel a special closeness. whom I share a love that no one else could possibly understand. My favorite child is the one who was too sick to eat ice cream at his birthday party, who had measles at Christmas, who wore leg braces to bed because he towed in, who had a fever in the middle of the night, the asthma attack, the child in my arms at the emergency ward. My favorite child spent Christmas alone away from the family, was stranded after the game with a gas tank on E, lost money for his class ring. My favorite child is the one who messed up the piano recital, misspelled committee in a spelling bee, ran the wrong way with the football, and had his bike stolen because he was careless. My favorite child is the one I punished for lying, grounded for insensitivity to other people's feelings, and informed he was a royal pain to the entire family. My favorite child slammed doors in frustration, cried when she didn't think I saw her, withdrew and said she could not talk to me. My favorite child always needed a haircut, had hair that wouldn't curl, had no date for Saturday night in a car that cost $600 to fix. My favorite child was selfish, immature, bad-tempered, and self-centered. He was vulnerable, lonely, unsure of what he was doing in this world, and quite wonderful. All mothers have their favorite child. It is always the same one, the one who needs you at the moment, who needs you for whatever reason to cling to shout at, to hurt, to hug, to flatter, to reverse charges, to unload on, but mostly just to be there. God has a favorite, and that favorite is the person who needs God the most. God loves every one of you, and you may make mistakes every day. You may only make them once a year. I'd like to meet you if that's true. But whatever the case, God is there and God loves you. And you're God's favorite child the minute you need God. But you know, when you don't, you're one of many, many who God loves. You're one of many who are special to God. God does not distinguish by age, race, creed, color, sexual orientation. God doesn't, because God created everyone. So God doesn't have those human filters to pick and choose and to decide what God wants. God created you. God loves you. You're special, but not so special that you don't have to do the will of God. God has his favorites. And as I said, those favorites are the ones who need him at the moment to cling to shout at, to hurt, to hug, to unload on. But mostly just to be there. We are all special. And because we are special, God sent his only Son for our redemption. We didn't earn it. It wasn't because some rich person paid God to do it. It wasn't because some king told God to do it. God saved us because we're special and God loves us. But never think you're above anyone else. There's only one above everyone, and that's God. So as we go into this Christmas season, as we get ready to celebrate the birth of our Lord, may we remember this was something that was unearned. It is freely given. Our free-range parent loves us and is there for us. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you today, we know oftentimes we try to act special. We may walk up to someone and act as though because we're a Christian, we're better. But we know we're not. Because we're Christian, we have responsibility. because we call ourselves Christian, we have the obligation to follow your son's teachings. And because we call ourselves Christian, we should praise and thank you every day for everything you have given us. Fill us with your spirit, that we may live in the hope of a future where we can help others, share with others, lift others up through encouragement and love. For we ask this in your son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.